are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Wednesday episode of the show. That means it's a Winky Wednesday. Nick Winkler, my weekly guest. That's a mouthful. It's hard to say. Joining me very shortly here, I do want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the show. Go listen to Locked On NFL this week if you have not. And if you have not heard, we're doing a special mock draft this week. It's a network-wide Locked On Podcast Network, bringing the power of the network. We've got hosts and analysts and bringing different people in, and it's as if it's a live draft, going through, making every pick, six or so picks per day through the first round. It's a five-day event, so Monday was the beginning, picks one through six. So you got to check it out. Nick making the selection for the 49ers. We're not going to spoil the pick for those who haven't listened, so go check that out. It's on the Locked On NFL show. I am hosting along with Locked On NFL's regular host, Matt Williamson, former NFL scout, and it's a lot of fun breaking down the draft, and it's a really cool event that we're doing, and really nothing like it out there, I don't think, as far as podcast goes. And for those of you jonesing for the NFL draft and going through this long off season, and sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, I cannot analyze players anymore, I think it's a fun thing for those folks that might be just ready for the draft to get here. Subscribe, rate, review the show. You can find this podcast and all of the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network on the new Himalaya app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And with that, let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
What's happening, my friend?
Not a whole lot. Just kind of ramping up to the draft here. Got a couple of weeks to go. Been listening to that draft show you've been doing. That's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Jumping in and out. It's a lot of work with the editing and stuff, bringing all those pieces together, all the elements, but it's awesome having each host make the selection, bringing in analysts for every pick, utilizing the Locked On NFL show and the draft dudes and those guys from the Draft Network that are doing a great job. It's awesome. It's really fun.
Brian Peacock, the hardest working man in NFL draft podcasts.
I am, dude. The podcast game is strong right now.
Yeah, it is. You're bringing it.
So let's see here. What do we have? We have some news. Well, some Seahawks news, I guess we should talk about, because it was starting to look like, man, are the Seahawks really going to dangle Russell Wilson in trade and not meet his demands? There was the April 15th Monday deadline, and they did get that in under the deadline, and the Seahawks made Russell Wilson the highest paid player in the NFL. And I think it was a matter of time. There was no way they were. I think maybe that was just publicly. They're like, oh, maybe we will trade Russell Wilson. Just as a last-minute negotiating ploy, just to save a couple of bucks, but you have to pay Russell Wilson. What are you going to do? You're going to get rid of Russell Wilson if you're the Seahawks? No way.
No, that's stupid. The guy won you a championship. He pretty much just revitalized that franchise, a franchise that had done nothing for ever, and mm-hmm. He comes in, and all of a sudden, yeah, they're a force to be reckoned with. I hate it because he's so much fun to watch. And as a Niner fan, it's just, oh, he drives me crazy.
Yeah, I totally agree. You got to pay guys when they're that good. They change the game for you. The Seahawks would just be terrible again for another 20 years if they traded Russell Wilson. That's why all the other moves that were suspect and people are like, oh, Seahawks are going to have to rebuild. Russell Wilson allows them to make those kind of moves.
I saw something funny on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this. Adam Rank tweeted, before the Seahawks get all confident they can move on from Russell Wilson, they should take some time to remember they also thought Matt Flynn was a franchise quarterback. And Matt Flynn responded, dude, damn, chill.
Yeah, I saw that. That was great.
He's like, no disrespect, man. Yeah. Didn't mean it in a bad way. Way did you mean it?
Yeah, that was major disrespect. What are you talking about?
I know. Yeah, afterwards you could say no disrespect, but that was full-on disrespect city right there.
But there's a great point by Adam Rank, too. That's how hard it is to find a franchise quarterback. You think you have a guy who's even a stopgap, and he may not be.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Some more visits coming into Santa Clara visiting the team, and it's pretty obvious the two position groups that the 49ers are focusing on right now. Bunch of defensive linemen, Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Quinnen Williams, Montez Sweat. Those were the old names that we already knew about. Rashawn Gary, not clear if he actually came in. It was reported that he's going to visit, and now maybe he's not, which is what happened with last year's first round pick in Mike McGlinchey. So that's an interesting wrinkle there. And I would hope that Rashawn Gary is not the, out of all these names, he's the guy I would want the least on the 49ers. And then a bunch of wide receivers, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, N'Keal Harry, and today's latest one was Hakeem Butler, who's coming in to visit, and he's my favorite of that group. But all those guys are in my top five, along with D.K. Metcalf, around that second-round pick. Pick 36 is where those guys should start to go off the board, or a couple of them maybe already gone. So it's pretty obvious. I mean, Bosa, edge rusher, round one, wide receiver round two. I mean, that's the way this thing is lining up for the 49ers.
We say that, but again, you mentioned it, the McGlinchey thing last year. Like, they're, maybe they're just doing all this to be like, yep, 49ers need these positions, and they do need those positions, but at the same time, you know, you didn't mention DK Metcalf, you know, coming in and having a meeting just yet. So yeah, that could be another way that the 49ers go. Maybe they are really planning on trading down, and they're looking at some other guys, and they don't want to tip their hand by bringing them in.
It's a great point. I think the two names that are the most obvious there is DK Metcalf and Brian Burns, but we don't have the full list of 30 names.
Sure.
So maybe those guys did come in and we don't know about it, or maybe it's hush-hush, or maybe they just didn't get reported yet. But and that's just a fraction of the 30 visits they could possibly have. And they've met with a lot of these guys anyway. They coached the Senior Bowl, so they met with a ton of guys there. And some of them, like Deebo Samuel, played in the Senior Bowl, so they really know him well. Nick Bosa they met with at the Combine and his pro day and now private visits. So if they don't know Nick Bosa well enough, then something's really wrong there. They had dinner twice with Quinnen Williams, I think. So, yeah, they're just doing due diligence. And some of the players you see that... And, there was a few more names I saw, some small school guys, maybe some guys with some character problems, injury problems, and those are pretty obvious because you want to bring some people in that you're not finished with the report, and you want to make sure they're healthy, and you want to give them a quick look over with the doctor probably, find out what happened character-wise. If a guy, you like his tape, find out if he's the type of person you want to bring into the building. So those types of players, you just have to do your due diligence on. That doesn't mean they love them. It just means they need to finish doing the homework.
And, you know, forgive me if you've already talked about this in a recent podcast or anything, but I just wanted to get your take on this because I know there's a lot of talk going on out there right now about Bosa and his effect in the locker room. And if it'll be, you know, a distraction, a negative thing, if guys will accept him because of his political views and how outspoken he is and, you know, and his support of Trump. Like, let's be completely real here. There's probably not a whole lot of that in a football locker room right now. Do you think that would be a problem going forward?
No, I don't think so at all. And I think that a lot of it's kind of overblown because people who are really anti-Trump trying to, you know, make a little bit more of it than it is. Mm-hmm. It's just a few tweets and liking some certain things, but he hasn't said anything outlandish. All the reports from Ohio State is that he's a good teammate, well-liked in the locker room, got along with everybody. And so those, I think, are the most important things rather than what he's, you know, tweeting about and who he might be voting for. And there's going to be a difference opinion and a difference of ideas in the locker room. There's guys currently on the 49ers roster that have pictures with Donald Trump and that are definitely Trump supporters.
So CJ Beathard, you're right.
He's definitely not going to be alone there. So there's going to be different personalities in an NFL locker room. As long as he hasn't done anything bad, said anything terrible, which from what I've seen, he has not. It's really a non-issue. It's, you know, it's just a San Francisco thing. I think, you know, it's a very liberal place. So I think it's just a little bit more heightened awareness, and people are like, oh, wait, what's this? I don't know if I feel weird about this. But yeah, it's not. No, you can't. I mean, it's just slippery slope. You can't do that. You would cut your potential pool of players in half, potentially.
Yeah, you're right. And I've had the same response when people have brought it up to me. I'm like, yeah, okay, but he can sure get the quarterback. You know, like, that's all you need. This is it.
Right.
They're playing the NFL. You know, they're playing a football game. They're not out there having a political debate.
It's just like, slippery slope. It's not even, it's a non-issue for me. We've got some mailbag stuff to get here. Is there any more news? I think I just saw one signing. The New England Patriots signed Demaryius Thomas, former Broncos wide receiver. He reunites with Josh McDaniels, his old offensive coordinator and head coach there in Denver for a while. He's not the player he was, but that's a classic New England Patriots move, and he'll probably have 1,000 yards.
Yeah, so I was going to say like 800 or 900. He's going to catch like 60 balls. 8 touchdowns.
Ready to hit this mailbag?
Let's do it.
Let's start with a tweet here from Joshua. On the Locked On Draft Show, the thought of trading either Thomas or Armstead if we go D-line, which one should we trade or keep? And for those of you who don't know, as the host of that Locked On NFL mock draft, I didn't want to sway things, and I didn't want to inject myself into the draft. So I had Nick come on to make the picks for the 49ers. And I'm not going to say who that pick was, but no matter who the 49ers pick, I think dangling Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas in trade is a smart thing. And I've talked about that really all offseason. So the question from Joshua is, which one would you trade? Which one would you keep?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, if anyone who has listened to the Winky Wednesday shows will know that you did have a bit of sway, I believe, in my selection from where I was six or 7 weeks ago to where I am now. Like, you've persuaded me in a lot of ways with your stats and things like that. As for keeping one of those guys, I mean, that's a tough call. I mean, they both haven't lived up to expectations. If I just had to make a split decision, I'd say, oh, man. Don't make me choose. I'm out.
You don't want to choose. Who brings back the most return is the guy I would trade. Armstead's a better player now.
I want them both, though.
What's that?
I want them both.
You want to keep them both?
I do.
So you would just not trade them?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, unless you can get some sort of big return for it. Otherwise, I mean, there's a lot invested in those guys, and they both have played well. You know, they haven't exploded and turned into franchise players, but, you know, they're good football players.
Yeah, and I think they just get it, and this happens a lot, an unfair rap because they have that first round tag connected to them.
Right.
So you expect, oh, we're going to have this perennial all-pro because we drafted a first-round player, and it just doesn't happen. It happens not very often, actually. Eric Armstead would be the guy that gets traded if it's a draft night trade, I think, because Solomon Thomas's contract is in a way that I think it doesn't make sense to move him until after June 1st. So if it's a summertime trade, I think you're looking ahead at this year. Armstead is currently the better player. And then basically at this time next year, maybe you don't have either guy if you trade Thomas, because I don't know if you're going to re-sign Armstead either.
Right.
Or you could try to work out a deal with Armstead, trade Thomas, or you could keep Thomas for the long haul a couple more years. You're probably not going to pick up his fifth-year option. And just because he is under contract, maybe trading Armstead makes more sense, and that would be more of a draft day trade because you wouldn't have to worry about the salary cap ramifications like you would Thomas, because post June 1st, then that's really when I think Solomon Thomas is available to be traded. And if I had to pick a way to go there, I would probably just stick with Thomas because he's going to be around longer. He's going to be a little bit cheaper than Armstead this year, and he has the potential to be just as good as Armstead, and they play very similar position there. Maybe you can get more out of out of Solomon Thomas, and maybe he does have a little bit of a slingshot effect this year. He went through so much last year personally and still developing as a young football player. And since Armstead is not signed long-term beyond 2019 and probably is not going to get a new deal because there's so many players that play his position, then probably Armstead would be my guess for who actually would get traded and who I would probably try to trade.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I feel like whichever one of those guys sees more playing time this year with the 49ers is probably going to see a lot of single coverage, you know, with the addition of D Ford, and if the 49ers draft Bosa or Williams or Sweat you know, one of these guys. Yeah, I mean, it's going to free up a lot of space there, you know, for Armstead or for Thomas. So it could be a big year for either one of them, or both. They could just be rotating in and out, staying fresh. I mean, sky's the limit with this D-line, especially if you add a big force in the draft.
Oh, man, yeah. Adding another player there is just going to make this thing, I think, blow up. And Armstead played really well. He's not a 10-sack-a-year guy. He's a good player, though. And I think Solomon Thomas is going to be very similar in that regard. That's going to be a monster defensive line. And you need some depth, so you don't have to trade either guy necessarily, especially if you get more of an edge player in the draft. You can fit everybody in and fit everybody in on the roster. And if you have this crazy good rotation, you don't want to be getting rid of good players for nothing. So unless the offer's there, then you don't trade either guy.
That's my vote.
Let's move on to some emails here. We've got Anthony. He's calling back to yesterday's program. He's saying, Robbie Gould for a 4th-round pick? No way. And it was kind of joking. I was kind of just trying to rub it into my guess that the 49ers have Robbie Gould and the Bears do not, you know, and he covers the 49ers. He knows the 49ers well, but he's a Bears fan at heart. So I had to sort of throw that jab at him. And I'm kind of with you. If the 49ers want to win, don't mess around. Mm-hmm. Don't even entertain that offer. You franchised him, keep him. Whenever that control of his destiny becomes his, then he can move on to the Bears if he wants to, or maybe he wants to stay with the 49ers and he likes how things are going here. But the Bears dropped him. You know, I mean, if you're Robbie Gould, you can live in Chicago in the offseason. You can love the city. That team completely kicked you to the curb. So this team liked you. This team signed you. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Robbie Gould, even if he's a complete free agent right now, would choose the Bears over the 49ers. I mean, there's a good chance he would because the Bears were a playoff team. The 49ers are picking second overall, right?
But I'm sure it's a lot easier to kick at Levi Stadium than it is Soldier Field.
Well, actually, Robbie Gould said it's not. He said it's really as hard or maybe more difficult because the way the wind blows and the unpredictability of it, if I remember correctly. And I think part of it is because of the way Levi's Stadium was designed, because it's so wide open on one side, mm-hmm. because it's the same design as the stadium that was supposed to go in San Francisco and have a view of the skyline. And they just took the same architecture and just put it in Santa Clara. So there was a reason it's designed that way. And I think, you know, just the winds just whip right through there.
Right. And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Robbie Gould was one of the, if not the most accurate kicker in NFL history when he was just released by the Bears.
He had a few, and Ryan had talked about that, he had a few hiccups that year or the year before.
But they're like, early in his career, missed a couple kicks, dude, you're out.
Yeah, it's like a mental thing. It's a mental block for the kickers. It's a mental block for the coaches because you can't, like, it's like not football. It's a different idea. So you can't, like, tell a guy to work harder and run through a wall. That's not how you kick a football, right? It's more like you're playing golf all of a sudden in a football game. It's that sort of a mentality. And I think that's why a lot of kickers are really good golfers, because of that, the mentality there and just how you go about technique, and it's sort of mechanical. Mm-hmm. But Gould was awesome early in his career and had a rough year or two, and then now he's back to being who he was, and they dropped him after that rough patch. But I think every kicker goes through that, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, there aren't too many that have been perfect or at least as amazing as he has been in his really solid years. I mean, you're talking about a guy here. Oh, okay, yeah, I'm looking at his last year in Chicago. He missed 6 field goals. I mean, that's a lot. Right. He was 33 of 39. He had missed 3 the year before. But, I mean, before that, I mean, he's in, you know, the high 80% his whole career. He's an 87.7 career percentage kicker. That's just incredible.
And a lot of times it's that big kick. It's the one you remember.
Yeah.
And that really changes the perception of fans long term. If you miss the big kick, you're terrible. They hate you forever, right? Even if you were 99% up until that point.
It was like Gary Anderson, right? For the Vikings. Oh, dude, he made every one all year and missed one to get into the Super Bowl.
It's crazy, man.
Robbie Gould with the 49ers has kicked 75 field goals. He's missed 3 in 2 years.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
He's been amazing.
Oh, let's lock this guy up, man.
He's due to start missing some, though.
Yeah, based on his trends. He's never had a season that good as he just had. He missed one. He was 33 of 34.
Wow.
Well, I guess, no, he went 10 for 10 for the Giants in 2016. All right,
we got to take a quick break and hit a couple more of these last couple mailbag questions. This is from Derek via email. He says, "Hey, Brian, and hey, Nicholas. I dug the diverting opinions last Wednesday on if the Cards are drafting Murray. I'm with Nick."
They're not.
He's with you, man. Derek is with you. He says, "I don't want to get my hopes up that the Cards are going to be that silly and go QB and let Bosa fall to us. I have a hypothetical question about team building philosophy. In this scenario, Jalen Ramsey's imaginary little brother is in this draft, like Nick and Joey. This imaginary brother is a clone of Jalen at cornerback and is considered just as safe of a pick as Nick is. With the 49ers' current roster, would you go Bosa or Jalen's little brother at number 2?
I think you still got to go Bosa. It's really the glaring need is that edge rusher. You haven't seen it since Alden Smith was around.
It's a good question because think there's a chance that there's an argument that you would put Jalen Ramsey ahead of Joey Bosa or ahead of Nick Bosa as a prospect.
Sure.
I think that the 49ers in free agency added D Ford really helps as far as the urgency of you have to 100% draft this one position. I still think edge is it's just so important. And the 49ers still need one. But that's a great question. I might lean toward the corner in Ramsey because of how good he is. But It would be close. That's a tough question. That's a really good question, actually, Derek.
It's a great question, but I really feel like NFL schemes, you know, they can really work around one cornerback. You know, you can get five receivers out there, and he can only cover one of them. You know, whereas if you got a guy going after the quarterback, you can only put so many guys on him. You know, like, you're going to try to triple team him? No, you might be able to double team him, but, you know, then you're going to free somebody else up if they blitz. So I really feel like there's a reason edge rushers get paid like quarterbacks of the defense, because they're so important. And, you know, it's just, you can see what a difference that an edge rusher makes just in coverage too, because if you're putting pressure on the quarterback every time, he's just not going to have time to sit back there and pick apart a defense. And the 49ers have really lacked that. And there's no way I could pass up going, you know, especially if they're, you know, they're close when it comes to talent wise. You know, you're like, this prospect could be Jalen Ramsey, but this guy could be Joey Bosa. It's like, okay, well, which one's more important to our franchise right now? It's got to be getting the quarterback.
Yeah. And it's close. I mean, those two positions, sure. Quarterback, then it goes, I think, edge rusher, corner. I think they're back to back. So it's really tight.
I think you're right.
It's really hard to differentiate. I think I like the fit too. Like, his style would really fit what the 49ers like to do. And you pair him from across from Richard Sherman. And I really think the 49ers have to still do something in the secondary, because they were not good there. And the pass rush is definitely going to help everybody, which is kind of what you're saying there, that's more important, because one player can help everybody versus one player just covering one guy. So I get that. So, yeah, in a perfect world, you have one crazy good pass rusher that is unblockable, and then just a lot of good corners that can cover well enough. And then that would probably be my philosophy, just because you need so many corners, you can't have five. You can't have, you know, three shutdown corners and two amazing rangy safeties.
Right. But if you get that one guy that can disrupt every play, and, you know, you're definitely a step ahead of the rest.
And that's kind of what the Patriots have done, is just, I mean, they just keep adding corners. They like have a million cornerbacks filtering through there, and they cover guys well, and it's worked good. So you can't be bad at cornerback, but I don't know if you necessarily need that one shutdown guy. And that's basically what their philosophy has been on defense, is they don't really pay anybody.
Right.
They let them walk, but they just keep adding them. Like, so they just have a ton of depth on the defensive line and in the secondary.
You think that's scheme, or do you think it's more so they draft to scheme, or they pick up guys just based on, okay, we know that he can fit what we do here?
I think it's both, because the do your job mentality, everyone takes care of their own business, and that helps everybody out, and it makes everyone play up a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they haven't, the fact that they've let everybody eventually walk in free agency, I mean, so much of that is scheme and getting the right people in, and then finding values where you can. And like the Demaryius Thomas signing, it's like, dude's a starting pro wide receiver, and you got him for almost nothing. And there's going to be people throwing draft picks at wide receivers in this draft, and some of those guys are going to bust.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it, you know, throughout their whole greatness that we've seen, you know, with like Corey Dillon and I mean, Cordero Patterson last year. And, you know, they bring in these guys that you're like, what? Okay. Oh, damn. Okay.
Right. Guys that, when they get coached up better and in the right scheme, and everyone else around them is doing the right thing, and they just have to focus on this one job, you can see how good these players are. So I think, everyone plays up a little bit in that scheme. I've got one more email here. This is from Andrew, and we haven't had a Wink in the Stink segment. And so he's got a good one here. He said, what player would trigger the biggest wink in the stink if the 49ers were to draft them with the second pick in the draft?
Oh, I like it. I think it'd be Kyler Murray, right? I mean,
that would be wild, man. That would be crazy. God.
I would just lose it.
Some people are saying that on Twitter, like, hey, they haven't had a private visit with Kyler Murray yet.
There's just no way they could do that, man.
No, that would never
happen.
Unless they
don't believe that Garoppolo is coming back. I mean, they're the ones that see him in his rehab and everything, and all reports are good, but you never know. I would be pissed if that happened.
Or if they try to get cute, like maybe they're talking trade and they can't quite get a deal done with the team, and so that team is like, oh, maybe we'll just trade up to three instead, because we know you're not taking a quarterback. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll take the quarterback. Now you have to trade with us. And then
they
end up getting stuck with the player they can't trade him. Teams don't do that.
Yeah,
this is NBA. That's like an NBA style thing to do. NFL teams do not mess around like that.
You know what would make me the most upset is if the Cardinals take Murray at one, and then the 49ers trade out of two. That would be the biggest problem for me.
Okay, so you wouldn't even. So let's say that let's say it's the New York Giants, just because it's easy to kind of place.
Sure,
who would be there, and 6 and 17 is the offer. You get number 6 and number 17. Kyler Murray goes 1. You wouldn't take that deal.
Oh, 6 and 17. I mean, that I just don't think they would do that.
That's what the chart says. That's the and it's pretty close to current value. So that's if you're the 49ers, the Giants call you. You say that's what it takes. 2 and 17. If you want this pick.
Yeah, offer I mean, that would probably be okay. But I mean, if it's like, you know, trading down to like 18 and it's like a future first and a future second or something, no, I don't want to see that. Like, I want to see you go out and get that edge guy that you, you know, again, nobody's a sure thing, but, you know, this Bosa definitely seems like a pretty close thing.
And I think as a fan, you want to see some immediate gratification in a good player now. But I think where the 49ers are at in their rebuild, they need to be good now. So they need
that
impact.
We're going into year 3 of this regime. Yeah, right. It's time. Let's see it.
And I think if it's Nick Bosa, he's just a perfect puzzle piece for what the 49ers have. They have these guys that are outside in players. They got Dee Ford, who's the speed guy off the edge. Now, he's a power guy, but can rush and bend around the corner. And a do-it-all type, and it's a perfect fit for what they need and what they currently have on the roster. It's just Nick Bosa just makes too much sense for the 49ers there. So it would have to be a great offer, but that 6 and 17 could be Brian Burns and DK Metcalf. And in that case, like, man, you got to consider that because those are two really good prospects, and you could potentially hit 2 home runs there.
All right, Peacock, you got me again.
But I'm not saying that's a slam dunk 100% that I would take it either.
No, I know.
That's probably what the 49ers are doing right now, is going through all of those options. Because it's not like they're going to sit there on the clock and be like, oh, man, we never thought about that. Do you guys want to take this trade? Like, they've got that figured out. They know exactly what they would take.
They've run so many scenarios.
And how those boards would fall and doing their own little mock drafts. And they're probably listening to our mock draft on the Locked On Podcast Network. Shout out to everybody in the front office that's listening. And they're probably making sure, you know, getting all the opinions, what would happen if a board was to fall a certain way to make sure they would want to make that type of a trade. And that would be a really cool fly on the wall meeting to be a part of, is to listen about the scenarios and what they're willing to do, what they're not willing to do.
Yeah, I mean, those who haven't listened yet, you know, I'm not going to give away my number 2 pick, but I definitely was texting back and forth with Marate, just like, you know, who should I take here? And he's a pretty smart guy, so he gave me some good advice.
Yeah, what was the medical on this guy again?
Yeah, right. Lynch was like, wait, hold up. He like chimed in. It turned into like this group text.
He stole a pack of Nerds when he was 7 years old from the grocery store.
I stole a pack of gum when I was like 3. And my mom was like, where'd you get that? I said, I took it. And she's like, well, you're going to go to jail. I was like, no, I'm Superman. I can't go to jail. The guy had a Superman show up. Mom was like, Nick, you're no Superman. From that day on, I've always remembered, like, I'm not Superman.
Man,
and
I haven't
stolen anything since.
The Nerds thing was me. I didn't steal a pack of Nerds. What I did was, there was a new flavor of Nerds out. I took literally one Nerd out of the pack and ate it while I was in the store. I was leaving with my mom, security guard grabs me by the arm and like has a pack in his hand.
What?
I stole one Nerd.
Oh my gosh. And the security guard came after you.
Yeah. Yeah. He waited until I was leaving with my
at
mom.
At that time, too, that must have been like 50 cents for a thing of Nerds.
Oh, yeah. And so my mom had to buy it, but then she wouldn't let me have it because she's like, you're not supposed to do that.
Oh, wow.
Actually, you know what? I take this back. I did steal a, it was like a G.I. Joe type. I don't even know what the character was. Maybe like a Transformer, something like that. It was it wasn't like a full size figurine. It was sort of a drugstore style, a little figure, an action figure. And what I did is I took it and I put it by where the magazine rack was next to the exit door.
Oh.
But there was, you know, but it was facing.
Because you plotted it out. That's premeditation right there.
And then I went around as I was leaving and I grabbed it on my way out the door. And then I got it home and I was excited about it. And for some reason, I really wanted that thing. And I opened it up and I felt so guilty I couldn't play with it and I threw it away.
Oh, good conscience on that kid. Oh, no, you know what? I did steal something at the 2010 NLCS. I was watching it at a bar in the Hate, and it was the night Cody Ross hit the two home runs, the two huge home runs. And I was drinking, it was like a Giants Bud Light glass, and it was good luck, so I kept having them fill up that one glass, and I took the glass home that night.
Come on.
Yeah.
You would have the bartender's glass. Blessing on that, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I didn't ask.
And that's the key. You got to ask.
That's, I know. Now you make me feel all guilty. Now I'm going to throw it away.
If you don't, yeah, you better throw that thing away. You're probably drinking from it right now.
It's my go-to, my water glass now.
All right, we're out of time, man. Thanks for joining me once again here, Nick.
My pleasure, buddy.
Draft week. The next time we talk is going to be the day before the draft.
Whew, that's exciting.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't even believe how fast it's happened. This is great.
All right, thanks everybody for listening. Don't forget to go listen to that Locked On Podcast Network 2019 mock draft. It's on the Locked On NFL channel, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Breakdown, we got some schedule dropping. Seeing rumors of a 49ers-Seahawks Thanksgiving matchup potentially next season. So we'll talk about that on Thursday's show. Talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.